5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Ferrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Ferrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad city, the broken day, the bad apple with the bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad tape, bad lie, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City studios of the Ferrell Appalachian, right across the river through the woods from where Granny already went to bed, but not before she snapped off a couple of tokes at a hybrid secret sauce in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dress in plastic bags to register drivers and kind of fashion shake it up should do, but all my friends that come around, flats of party of rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, with the best is tats of tatterbubber and splattered all over Manhattan should do be shake it up. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Ferrell with Mafia. The number's toll free, 844-843-6879. So it's the end of this Knick-Hawk game, and it's getting chippy, intense, crazy, wild at the Garden. 3 minutes left. Knicks by five. They're living dangerously on the edge, shooting threes left and right. They can't get a clean bucket. They can't get a good look at all. Everything's, you know, some downtown hack shot. Like Randall just chucked from 30 and bricked. He's been terrible again. This is game one, game two, both of them terrible. I mean, just utterly terrible. I don't care what anybody says. A guy that averages, you know, what he's had, the most improved player in the league, he's 4 of 14, 2 of 7 from downtown. He averaged 24 points, 10 boards, 6 dimes, and he's got, you know, 13, 10, and 2. The double-double, but I still think it's awful. His shooting and his shot selection has been awful. 2 of 7 from downtown. And I don't even know. Like, I was just talking right here. I think that I could be wrong. I saw him chuck the 3 and miss. Now, this time, I have to look again and see what happens. He's mauling Hunter under the basket. I agree, that's a foul. They called the foul on him. He mauled Hunter. It was that simple. The only reason they're winning this game right now is because, and Mafia knows it, it's because the Hawks haven't hit the broadside of a barn in 10 minutes. The only buckets they've gotten are from Trae Young and Capella, and they can't hit anything right now. They just can't hit anything. And then Randall just keeps taking bad shots. But that was a great pass by Randall to Gibson for the dunk. They're up 7 with a minute 35 left. So they got to stop Young. He shot a brick three, but they let Herter get the rebound. And then they shoot another three and miss. And then they don't get the rebound. It's unbelievable to me. But the ball went off of Hunter, so the Knicks are going to get the ball up 7 with a minute 27 left. They have to win this game. Otherwise, they go down 2 to Atlanta and go to Atlanta down 2. They need to go to Atlanta 1-1. I mean, the games have been unbelievable. The series is going to be unbelievable. And that's all there is to it. Oh, my God, Randall hit a layup. I can't even believe it, in the low block. They're up 9 now with 1:13 left. The Garden's going Calypso Bay. So there you go, 100-91. We welcome in our radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio. It's for all on a bench. So earlier, the Sixers blew out the Wizards 120-95. And I, you know, that just is unbelievable to me that they can't show up for this game tonight. It makes no sense to me whatsoever that the Wizards get blown out like that. I mean, 120-95, my God. I mean, you're just getting your ass spanked by 25 points. I mean, my God. And then I don't know if you saw it or not, but some crazy fan dumped a bucket of popcorn on Russell Westbrook's head when he got injured. So he was leaving the court injured with an ankle, and they were taking him into the dressing room, and some stupid-ass fan poured popcorn on him, and Westbrook lost it. He absolutely went nuts. It took like 4 people to hold him back from killing the guy. And now I think they definitely kicked the guy out of the arena. And my guess will be he'll never go to another Sixers game as long as he lives. He'll be banned for life. Because he thought he was, you know, really cool, and he'd dump a bucket of popcorn on Russell Westbrook's head. I guarantee you they ban him for life from the Wells Fargo. Mark my words. I mean, they have to. The NBA has to. You can't have fans throwing things at players ever. I don't care who it is, where it is, when it is. None of it matters. You're done. You're banned for life. Bottom line, it's that simple. And they know who the guy is. They already threw him out of the arena. They have to know who he is. So he's doomed. That guy's finished. Hope he enjoyed going to the last game of his life, unless he moves, because he's not getting into any Sixer or Flyer games. I'll guarantee you that. He'll be banned from that arena forever. As of tonight, finished. So we got a lot going on tonight. Pat Hickey of the Montreal Gazette will join us and talk hockey. It's for all on the bench.
It has come to our attention that some of you are guilty of
superstition.
Dude, trust us. Winning after an XL pepperoni pie before every game is
just a coincidence.
Take a breath.
And maybe a diabetes test.
We're your home for the winning edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, so the Knicks win at 101-92 over the Hawks. And I got to tell you, I think Trae Young's digging his own grave by, you know, challenging these lunatic fans in New York. I mean, you are just digging your own grave. I mean, he was just giving them the business going off the floor in this game that they lost. And he was talking smack to fans going toward the tunnel, and there is just abusive behavior going on by Knick fans toward this guy. And, like, I just think it's going to become increasingly inconvenient for his life because, I mean, I know he doesn't have to play here that often, but he has to play here. And he's in a series here right now. They're going to have, you know, games 5 and 7 here at worst if they go 7, right? At the very least, game 5. And they abused him all night. And the bottom line is he still had a really good game. I don't deny that. He had 30 points and he had 7 assists. He's incredible, but it's only going to get worse. The more you egg them on, the more you talk, the more they're going to return serve. And I just don't think it's a healthy way to make a living going up against them. Like, there are certain places, in my opinion, you just do not challenge these fans. And it's New York and Philadelphia. And I would also put in there Chavez Ravine at Dodger Stadium. You see what happens to people that challenge them. They end up with brain damage. I mean, you don't have to, like, bring up Brian Stowe to everybody, do you, Pharrell? Do I have to bring up the guy that they beat almost to death? You know I'm right, Mafia. I'm not even trying to be, but it's reality. Like, these people out there, what do you mean, you people? These folks, these fine, wonderful people in Los Angeles at Chavez Ravine, they'll kill you dead. I mean, they will stomp you dead. They will stab you, shoot you. And it's all happened at the Dodger games right in the parking lot. I mean, Mafia, you know it's true. I mean, you want me to pull up all the stories of people getting shot at the games and stabbed, beaten, stomped on? I mean, there are certain places, I'm telling you, I'm warning you, you just don't do it.
Right.
You need to shut your mouth. And I don't care who you are. You think you're because after game one, he talked it, right? He talked the talk. He said, I love it. Bring it on. You think you faze me? I'm the villain. I love it. Bring it on. You suck. And he has just challenged the wrong people, Mafia.
Yeah, I mean, this kid's a baby in this league. He forgets that. It's one thing, you know, he's talking about Reggie and Michael, and those are all-time greats. And even then, they didn't start doing that when they were first at the Garden. They did that after they knocked the Knicks out a couple times, after they had a bunch of success there, and they were the Knicks' nemesis. That's when they started to get into it with the fans. And you know what? The Knicks fans are crazy. But if you're good enough, they'll still respect you. You know, they'll give you that respect that you deserve, and it's kind of a, you know, more of a, I don't want to say loving back and forth, but it's definitely, you know, respectful back and forth, even when they're cursing you out. They know you're that good, and that's why they're giving you heat and trying to knock you off your game. But he ain't done a damn thing in this league. He had one nice shot. He had a great game for game one. He's had a great game two. He had one game-winning shot at the Garden. He's going to talk crap like he's the new nemesis. Dude, win this series before you think you're anything in this league. Come on.
Yeah, I think he's a great player. I think you're right about him not doing anything in this league yet. He's done nothing. I mean, this is his first playoff series. So I do think he's an incredible talent, without a doubt. I don't think he's earned the right to think that he could challenge these people. And I'm telling you, it's one thing to what you're talking about. They'll respect you if you're good. There's no doubt in New York. If you're good, they'll respect you. And there's another thing. You challenge them, and you'll be lucky you don't get a battery in the head.
Right. Them spinning for all you is the least of your worries right there.
I mean, that is the least of your worries. You are not even safe in that building. You're not even safe. I mean, when you least expect it, some idiot will do something to you, and you'll never regret. You'll regret everything you ever did if someone comes up and hurts you or stabs you. I mean, listen, you can talk all you want that I'm crazy. I've seen it in sports. The Brian Stowe incident in Los Angeles. But do you remember, like, Monica Seles when that fan just stabbed her? Do you remember that? Like, she got stabbed by some lunatic.
Yeah.
Like, are you effing kidding me? And then what was the Tanya Harding? You remember that one? Like, that was even more demented. You got some conspiracy, some grand scheme, some moron attacks that skater, Kerrigan. I can't even believe I remembered her names. Mafia, this is a great moment in time because, as you know, I have early Alzheimer's, and I just remembered two female skaters' names, Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan. Did I get it right? I think I did. This is a miracle, Mafia. This is a moment in time that you have to etch down in the It really is. Can you pull out the book of things that we least expected Pharrell to ever be able to do again? Do you have that book handy? I think you still have it in the studio. I just remembered their names, two female figure skaters, and I know no female figure skaters. And that was like 20-some years ago, right? But do you remember that one? Like, it's not even a joke in, like, you know, trust me, in Philadelphia, they'll hit you in the head with snowballs, with batteries in them, you name it. They mean
business.
They're
crazy to hit police horses.
They're crazy. Like, they're crazy. But I got to ask you, do you think they grow those horses? Because they're, like, bigger than all other horses. Have you ever seen anything like how the police horses are bigger than all the other horses around the world? Like, horses are great. Then there's police horses that are, like, 2-3 foot bigger than the other ones. Like, where do they grow those horses? I need to know. It's a special breed of horse?
Yeah, like the Clydesdales at Budweiser, they're just like, you know, there's certain horses are bigger than others, certain breeds. Like certain dog breeds.
But the horses in like New York City and Philly, those cob horses are enormous. And then when they cable in the street, it's the most gigantic pile of horse like cable ever. It's like an elephant. You're right. It's elephant. it's an elephant horse cable. Just a gigantic pile of elephant cable out of a horse. I have no idea what's happened to this show tonight. I have no idea. We started talking about basketball, and the next thing you know, we're talking about figure skating and elephant cable. These things happen. They really do. Tonight, the Jazz hosting the Grizzlies and Salt Lake Shakers. That is evolving as we speak. That'll be on next as the Knicks finish off Atlanta to even that series at 1. Philadelphia now up 2-0 after destroying the Wizards tonight in Philadelphia, 120-95. This game is the last game left. Spida Mitchell playing tonight. He's been out since mid-April with the ankle. He'll finally play tonight with the Jazz down 1. They were laying 9.5 today on Coast to Coast. So that's happening. And then when we come back, we're going to talk to Pat Hickey, the best hockey writer in the world with the Montreal Gazette, a good friend of the show. I haven't talked to him in a long time. We'll talk to him about all these games. The Lightning are up 2-0 on the Panthers in the third with 6 minutes left. And the Knights Wild in the second, scoreless. It's Pharrell on the bench. Problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. We got the legend back on the mahogany waxing up. We haven't talked to him in a while. He probably thought we forgot about him. That's not the case. Pat Hickey, the best hockey writer in the world, is on the show again. How you doing, Z-Babes? What's happening, brother?
I'm doing just fine, Scott. You know, it's great to be talking to a guy I once thought of as the best NHL play-by-play man in the league.
Well, listen, you know, I thought they could have used me tonight in...
Talk about legends.
I thought they could have used me tonight on Strong Island when I was listening to Forsland and Pierre do a French porno on the Islanders. They were on their knees for the Islanders the whole series. There's nothing I hate worse. Honestly, I'm going to just say it. There's nothing I hate worse than announcers that suck up to a team because they're winning or playing well. And I thought those two did it the entire series. And it's even worse if I listen to Brendan and Butch do it because they get paid by the Islanders, which I understand it. But listening to Butch Goring complain about refs for 25 years in every game, I want to stick a gun in my mouth. And then listening to Forsland and Pierre McGuire, I'll tell you what, I wanted to take a stick and shove it down Pierre's throat. I mean, it was embarrassing. I even tweeted it out. Like, I mean, it's like you're on your knees for the Islanders. It's so obvious. It was embarrassing. And you know what? The difference between me and them was, you know, it's true. I used to call the other team's goals as exciting as the ones we never scored in Atlanta.
you certainly did.
I mean, honestly, like, I have to tell you, well, first let's talk about that series first, and then we'll talk about the Canadiens' problems. I want to ask you flat out. So I thought Tristan Jarry was the worst goalie I've ever seen in my life. I've been watching hockey for 50 years. I have never seen anyone worse in my life at giving up goals over the glove and up top, upstairs. I cannot fathom a guy every single night for six games get beat up top on every single shot. And then you can't explain it to me, Pat, how that Sullivan didn't yank him tonight when he gave up the fourth goal. At 3-3, I'm still okay because they were up 3-2. At 3-3, okay. 4-3, wow, you got to take him out. 5-3, they leave him in. Now, everyone says you can't play Legacy. I'll tell you what, I would have played a walrus before I would have kept that kid in the game. He was broken on Monday night in double overtime. That was the end of Tristan Jarry on Monday night. He had no chance winning that game tonight, none whatsoever.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the problems they have in goal there. And when you look at Marc-Andre Fleury is still winning games in Vegas, and you know, they gave up on him what, 5-6 years ago, and you know, Jarry just you know, goaltending is so important in the playoffs, and Jarry just had no chance tonight. I mean, the Islanders, I picked the Islanders to win that series, and you know, I think that they have the best coaching around, and you know, they have a good team. They have a fun, exciting team to play. You know, my parents were Islanders season ticket holders for about 25 years, and they'd be really happy to see that team the way they're playing this year.
I mean, I understand that. I bet on them too. I mean, I'm on TV every day in the afternoon, and I said the Islanders will win the series easily. That's 5-1 now, lifetime against the Penguins in the playoffs. The Penguins cannot beat the New York Islanders in the postseason. They beat them 6 of 8 times in the regular season. None of that matters. You play them in the postseason, they lose every time. They beat them once. My entire life, there has never been a team more dominant against the Penguins in the postseason than the Islanders. The Penguins have won 5 Stanley Cups. They can beat every team in the league. They can't beat the Islanders. And you know it, Pat.
Yep. Yeah, no, that's a matchup. I mean, you know, the Islanders had to be really happy when that matchup was, you know, the way that matchup worked. And it'll be interesting to see now how they do against the Bruins. I'm looking forward to a really good series in that one.
I have to ask you, are you surprised that Sullivan didn't yank him? Like, even if I understand that Legacy only played in one game the whole year, but that was a shutout against Buffalo. And all I know is it was a 1-0 game. All I know is that guy gave up so many goals tonight. I mean, I'm surprised he didn't let in 8 or 9. That's how bad he was. Like, every shot they took went in. How in God's name do you leave a kid in that is that mentally washed? He was so beaten. And then when he did the interview after Monday night, he said, or Tuesday, wouldn't even talk Monday night. Tuesday, he said, what would he have done differently? He said, stop the puck maybe. And then he laughed. Like, when you start laughing about how bad you were and you don't take it seriously, I'm sorry, Pat, the kid's fried. I honestly believe, Pat, I mean it. I don't believe he'll ever be a good goalie in the NHL ever again based on what happened to him in this postseason. I don't think he'll ever recover from it. I truly believe he'll be a backup the rest of his life.
Well, I think that's one position that they're going to have to upgrade there. I would have started Legacy in one of these games just to see where he was at. And, it is very difficult when the guys only play one game in a season. But, he's a veteran. He's a goaltender that's been around, and he understands the game. And sometimes you get a goaltender that you don't expect to play, and the rest of the team rallies around him. And feels that they've got to play extra hard defensively, and I thought that might have made a difference. But you're right. When he what's in that third goal, you got to make a change there.
Do you believe that after three straight first round exits, and he made no changes whatsoever, not one the entire series to any of his lines or anything? He never made one change of anything. He never did anything. I have to ask you, at some level, I believe Burke and Hextall have to have a conversation about whether or not they should get rid of him. Because Sullivan did nothing. He just stood there, and he didn't coach. He just stood there, and he did nothing for this kid. I got to tell you, that kid was washed. He was finished Monday night. And then tonight, you see him 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2, 3-2, 3-3, 4-3, 5-3. I mean, it just was so unbelievable to me. I have never in my life seen a coach not yank the guy after he gives up two goals in 16 seconds. And you already knew what happened to him on Monday night. What the hell kind of job are you doing as a coach, even just protecting the kid from, I think, ruining his career? Honestly, Pat.
I think there will be changes there. Brian Burke doesn't give guys an awful lot of rope, these guys, Hextall is, his job is on the line. So I think that, one of the things that they're going to be looking for there is some decisive move. And I think Sullivan is the guy that's going to go.
Yeah, that's crazy. And do you believe that the New York Rangers will hire him?
I don't know. It's a possibility. The thing is, it's one of these things, he's had some success in the past, and I think that, there'll always be another team in line to hire him. And there are a couple of vacancies. He would probably be a good fit in New York. There's other guys that are out there. It'll be interesting to see where Claude Julien ends up if he decides that he wants to keep coaching. He's got another couple of years left at $5 million with the Canadians paying him. And there are going to be guys out there, and there are going to be some, I would think that there'll be at least five or six teams that will change the same coaches during the offseason. Montreal may be one of them.
Well, yeah. Do you believe that Gerard Gallant would be, and I know there's a lot of young coaches out there that are on the table for, gigs in the NHL. There's a lot of talk about, minor league coaches and all these guys around the world that are really good, that are up and coming high risers and all that. I wonder if the Penguins would be interested in Gallant, because I thought he did a great job in Vegas. I was stunned when they fired him. I'll tell you what we're going to do, Pat. Can you hang on and I'll take a break and we'll come back and talk about that. And then we'll talk about the Canadiens' problems because they can't score. I think that's really their big problem. And I just wanted to give an update on – we're talking to Pat Hickey, the Montreal Gazette. We'll talk about the Canadiens when we come back. But I just wanted to give an update. The Lightning are up 4-0. It's a final now. They beat the Panthers and eliminated them from the playoffs. They win game 6 in Tampa 4-0. And right now, 7 left in the second. Vegas and the Wild in game 6 at the XL in Minneapolis are scoreless. Vegas wins. It's over. If the Wild win, Friday night will be game 7 in Vegas. It's Ferrell on the bench.
Winning isn't a mystery. It's remaking the odds in your favor by developing a strategy through deftly applied expert information and insights. Where do you get this information?
Right here.
Well, duh. Get the winning edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
We're talking to the best hockey writer in history, Pat Hickey of the Montreal Gazette, an absolute titan in the business and legend, one of my favorite people all time, hockey fanatic, a New Yorker through and through. He's just forced to live there. He won't admit it, but it's true. He loves it here in New York. He when he says that up in Montreal, they cuss at him in French. Anyway, the Canadians had five power plays in the game the other night and had six shots on goal. I think they're like 0-for in the series, aren't they, on the power play? Like, what is the problem?
0-for-15.
Jesus, what is the problem? Like, I watched the game, and I'm just sitting there going, I don't know what's worse, their inability to score or Tristan Jarry.
Well, it's probably a tie. You know, here's a situation. You know, I mean, they've scored, the Islanders tonight scored five goals, which is more goals than the Canadians scored in four games. They just can't put the puck in the net. They've got really good goaltending in Carey Price, but he's got to be totally frustrated. I mean, you know, they've won one game in a series. They won the first game on the road, 2-1. But if you look at the goals, they had a shorthanded goal and they had a fluke. Yeah, you know, and since then they've scored two goals in the next three, you know, total in the next three games. There's just no offense there at all. They've got guys that, you know, the guys on the top two lines have one goal, and that's just not good enough. So they've got no scoring at all from their from the back end from the defensemen. The power play is totally static. They try to get the puck back to Shea Weber for a big booming slap shot, but every team knows it's coming, and they just get in the lane and take the punishment. If you know, you have to have a lot of guts to get in the way of a Shea Weber slap shot, but guys are doing it, and so you know, unless they can figure out some way to score goals, this series is over tomorrow night.
So I can't understand, Pat, and they're getting roasted by old guys like Jumbo Thornton and Jason Spezza, who's also, you know, days away from a wheelchair. I mean, both of them are having huge, you know, opportunities in these games. Like, I know Thornton tipped one in on a pass from Spezza. I saw that goal. They're getting lit up by them. And how about the nightmare of Galchenyuk coming back to haunt them?
Well, that's something there. You know, I mean, Galchenyuk has probably revived his career in these playoffs. He's been with five teams since the Montreal since Montreal gave up on him. This is a former number three overall draft pick. He had lots of problems here off the ice in Montreal, and then he's had problems everywhere he's been since then. But the Leafs picked him up in midseason from Ottawa. And it looks like he's turned his game around a little bit. He's got lots of talent. He picked up a couple of assists. He had a three-point night, you know, night of goal and two assists. It's right. Interesting. Austin Matthews, who was the leading goal scorer in the league, has in three of the four games, he hasn't had a point. So you figure, yeah. You know, oh, geez, if we can keep Austin Matthews off the score sheet, we got a chance to win. Hasn't happened. And, you know, they've got guys, Marner hasn't really produced, but all of these second-tier players have come up big. Joe Thornton, I mean, it's amazing. Here's a guy 41 years old, and he's still out there producing, getting in people's face. And right now they're playing without John Tavares. He got hurt in the first game of the series. Right. Nick Foligno's out. So you got two of your top three centers are out of the game, and yet they're still rolling.
So Pat Hickey with us from the Montreal Gazette on the bench. So let me ask you, what's it like when I'm watching the game at the Bell Center and there's nobody there, and then when they're playing in Toronto, there's nobody there, and I understand the ramifications of what's happened with COVID up there and how, I don't know, Pat, I got to tell you, it seems kind of backward ass to me that it's like prehistoric what I'm watching. Like, how is it that, like, they're at the Garden tonight, a full house watching the Knicks. They're at the Long Island at the Coliseum at the barn. The place was full with 14,000, whatever. And I don't know, they're lying if they said there was 9,000 there tonight. There wasn't 9,000 there tonight. Every seat was taken. That place was packed. All I know is in Canada, they're not allowing fans, any of them, at the games. There is absolutely no home ice advantage whatsoever for any of these teams. How crazy has that been to see again? Like, you know, last year they, you know, it was the same thing. Now here you are a year later, they're playing in the playoffs and still no fans. What's it like?
Well, it's very, very bizarre. It's, you know, you there's no, they try to pump in some crowd noise and things like that. You do all the interviews by Zoom. You know, there's some games I don't even bother, you know, going to, because it's a lot easier to sit home and watch them on television. How we would have had fans if there's a game six, there will be some fans at the Bell Center. They've just gotten permission to allow 2,500 fans in. I don't think they've decided yet who the 2,500 fans are going to be. Some suggestion is that there'll be frontline workers, you know, health workers and people who have been on the front line against the COVID. But of course, you know, it may not happen now, because if they don't win tomorrow night, there isn't going to be a game six in Montreal.
Well, what's the plan, Pat, for, you know, when someone wins the Canadian division and they move on, are they going to have to play elsewhere? What are they going to do? Are they they're not going to let the teams go up there, are they, from America?
No, I think the plan is for the whatever team wins the Canadian division will move to the States and play all their games in the States.
Like where?
Well, whoever they're playing against.
They're going to play every game at
the team they're playing against will have 4 to 7 home games.
Oh my God! Then and fans—they'll have no chance.
I mean, right now, you know, the Toronto Blue Jays are playing all their games, all their home games, so-called home games, in Tampa, and the soccer team, the MLS team, is playing in Florida. You know, just because the border is essentially right. Closed, and so there'll be no. No possibility. I mean, whoever ends up doing it, the media from that city will probably not travel. The TV people will, because they're part of the bubble, you know, going through testing all the time. And my hope is that, you know, by next October, things will be more or less back to normal. And, you know, I'll be able to travel again. And we've done a very good job of vaccinating people here. And they figure that by July, we'll have hit that 75-80% threshold that they want to open things up. I mean, they're vaccinating people as quickly as they can get vaccines. And right. We don't have the same availability of vaccines as they do in the United States, you know, because most of the companies are either based in Europe or in the United States, and we get, you know, supplies of vaccines as they're available. And I know that we did get a notice. I got my first Pfizer shot in March. I was supposed to get my second one in July, and I just got a notice the other day saying that will probably be moved up. I'll probably get it sometime in June. And, you know, I've been pretty careful, but it's been a very strange year. I mean, I spent all last summer, there was no sports to do, and I ended up covering demonstrations every weekend.
Well, I mean, you gotta be kidding me. Like what, like, I don't understand. It sounds like, it sounds kind of backward-assed. How is it that Canada, like, how is it that in the U.S., we've gotten literally 50% of every human being, you know, adult, has gotten both vaccine shots. 50% of this country, they've gotten both doses. And then now they're giving them to kids. And but it sounds to me like, because I work with a guy that's, you know, a couple guys on our network are on, they're in Toronto and Vancouver, and they're always telling me how there's no shots and there's no availability for vaccines. And it's just, it's been kind of real slow, like you just elaborated. And all I know is I don't understand that. Like, I mean, what is happening where Canada is so behind everyone else? I just, it makes no sense to me.
Well, we don't have a plant here that manufactures vaccines. So we're dependent on getting them from Europe or from the United States. Right. And that's the problem. That's the problem. Everything has to be imported. You know, there's some talk about building a vaccine factory here, but by the time they get it up and running, you know, it's not going to be. We have all the top American drug companies here, including Pfizer, but they're making, the plant up here is making Viagra instead of vaccines.
Listen to him, Mafia. All right, Pat. Real quick, I only got a couple minutes. Who do you like in this the remainder of this Vegas game against the Wild? Still scoreless after two periods. Do you think Vegas finishes them off tonight or in game seven in Vegas, or do you think the Wild somehow steal this series?
I think Vegas is going to finish it off tonight. I just think that Fleury is playing, you know, just outstanding hockey, and I think they're going to figure out a way to score the goals. I'd feel a lot more confident if Pacioretty was 100%. I think they still have enough firepower to squeeze a game, squeeze a goal or two out, and win that series.
Who do you think wins between? Respectfully, I got 60 seconds. Who wins between Vegas and Colorado?
I think Colorado wins.
Me too.
I like their offense. I think they've got firepower. They've got a more balanced team. And they say, you know, missing Pacioretty hurts them. But I think they've got some really good young players in Colorado, and they're going to give anybody in this league a tussle.
God, their speed is so unbelievable. They just come at you like the Russian Red Army, don't they? They're phenomenal.
They just keep coming at you. Yeah.
Right.
They never really stop.
Yeah, it's crazy. Hey, Pat, it's great catching up, my man. I love having you on the show tonight. It made my day. Maybe we'll get you back on.
Anytime, Scotty.
You know what? Maybe Mafia will get him on later in the playoffs on the TV side. We'll get him on the Coast to Coast show in the afternoon, maybe. All right, Pat.
Anytime.
It's great having you on. We'll be in touch. We'll get you on. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight. All the best to you and the family. All right, there he is, the legendary Pat Hickey from the Montreal Gazette on the bench. They got their ass beat. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
All right, so I think I'll hold off to the top of the hour, Mafia, to take the call, because I only have, like, whatever, a minute or something here to talk. So then I'll have more time to talk to him at the top of the hour, which is just in a few minutes anyway. So if you waited this long, you can wait another couple minutes, and then you'll have all the time in the world to talk to me. I got people in Pittsburgh that want to talk to me about the Penguins. And I'm down with that. I will say, I think I said it to Pat Hickey that I am, and you heard what he said. He said flat out that he thinks Mike Sullivan's getting fired because Burke and Hextall are running that team now, and they're not, they didn't hire Mike Sullivan. And they're changing that team left and right. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to change the team. There is no way that they don't have a conversation, that Lemieux and Burke and Hextall, there's no way they don't have a conversation about Mike Sullivan. It's been 3 years of this, losing in the first round in a row, and I just thought he stood there like a wax doll this time and did nothing to adapt or change during the series. I just thought he stood there and kept rolling out the same three lines, and then he kept the same defensive pairings, and he left that kid in goal every night and never had the stones to at least yank him and put in Legace for at least, I mean, all it was a period, basically. I mean, when the kid was getting lit up and it was 3-3, 4-3, 5-3, and he kept him in there, I mean, I don't know what coach in the league wouldn't have yanked the guy. He was shot. He was done. Kaput. So I thought the job Mike Sullivan did was embarrassing.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.